All this week, we're reporting from Crimea. The Vermont-sized peninsula on the Black Sea was forcibly taken from Ukraine by Russia earlier this year. And when borders change, so do lives. The takeover by Russia has forced Crimeans of all ages and backgrounds to rethink their identities. Just imagine waking up and feeling like you're in a whole new country. Or, in the case of some Crimeans, imagine the new country is the old country that brutalized your people. That's how Ernest Isorezli is feeling these days. The 26-year-old is part of an ethnic minority, the Crimean Tatars. He and his dad own a goat farm. It's on a windy mountainside overlooking the city of Simferopol. We're driving across the grass in Ernest's boxy Soviet Lada. It's a car he regrets buying.
It's one of the worst things that could happen to mankind. I had to buy it because it was really cheap and I had no money at the moment. And now I cannot sell it. I'm stuck with it.
But Ernest has decorated the old Soviet car with the flag of the Crimean Tatars. The flag is right on the dashboard, the Cyrillic letter T, yellow, against a sky blue background.
I didn't have it 6 months ago. I just felt the need to put it out, maybe opposing some Russian flags that some pro-Russian people put on their windshield.
That little flag means so much to Ernest, and here's why. Given recent history, it's a miracle Ernest and his family are even here in this place. The Crimean Tatars are Sunni Muslims, native to Crimea. They've been persecuted by Russia for generations. Stalin brutalized them in World War II. He labeled the Tatars Nazi sympathizers and shipped the entire population to Central Asia in boxcars, including Ernest's grandmother.
At least half of the population died during deportation because of the conditions they were kept in. And the conditions were no conditions at all.
But the hardship wasn't over even for the survivors once they arrived in Central Asia, in places like Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan.
Most of them were just thrown out in the fields with no houses, nothing.
Ernest's family made the best of their new life there, but they always wanted to return to their homeland. And beginning in the 1980s, Tatars were allowed to go back to Crimea. Ernest and his family returned when he was just 2, and they had to start from scratch again. We've driven from the goat farm to Ernest's family home just a few miles away.
Till this day, I wonder how they did it. With no money and no connections, no whatsoever, they managed to build a house.
This one, we're sitting right now.
Yes.
Given all this history, it is understandable that Crimean Tatars are wary of Russia. But now they are under pressure to sign a document declaring, yes, I want to be a citizen of Russia. It feels like a nightmare for many. But if Ernest and other Tatars want to stay here in this new Crimea, they really need to become Russian citizens. Without that, it's much harder, maybe impossible, to get health care or a driver's license or own a business. Ernest tells us about his trip here to downtown Simferopol, a place we went to check out ourselves. It's the Federal Migration Service, and this is where Crimeans can change their citizenship from Ukrainian to Russian.
It's on this little street, sort of almost feeling like a back alley, a tree-lined street, and there's this crowd of people standing in front of a concrete wall. People are bundled up, they're men, women, some holding their kids, and just waiting, staring at these people who hold lists that give people numbers and will determine when they can actually get inside, get new passports, and get new migration status.
It is hard just to get inside that building. So when Ernest was here, he had to wait and wait as this woman called out names. The lists here, they're 400 people long, and they only let around 10 people inside each day. And there are different emotions out in this crowd. Some people, just like Ernest, come reluctantly. Others are giddy.
Putin, Russia, Krim.
This woman comes out of the building bragging about her new citizenship. She is now officially Russian.
Russia, 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 Russia. Putin.
It's a kiss. Kiss, kiss.
Putin.
She runs into a guy who is not sharing in the celebration.
He said, no, I don't agree with you because I just do not want to come here every day.
The whole scene harkens back to Soviet times when lines for food, documents, anything were long and confusing. Ernest tells us he finally got his turn.
A couple of days ago, I had all my documents set to get Russian passport. I was almost at the desk then I just couldn't do it. I turned and leave. I realized I have to do it at some point.
You were that close?
Yeah, I was that close. I just turned around and went home. I couldn't do it. My grandparents and parents have been fighting the Soviet machine for years and years, for decades. And this is all happening again.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin says it isn't. He's vowed to respect the rights of Crimean Tatars. But over the past few months, several Tatar leaders have been deported. Tatar libraries and political offices have been raided. And young Tatar men, Ernest's age, have been kidnapped. He is trying not to let the fear get to him.
I have to stay. This is my homeland. I have nowhere to go. And my grandparents and my parents struggled to come back here and live here. And some people died. Some people died in the deportation hoping to return, but they didn't live to it.
Ernest knows he'll probably have to change his citizenship to Russian, and he says he kind of hates himself for it. He fights back in small ways, like the Tatar flag he planted on his dashboard, and there's this. His infant son Ali is on his lap. The baby's birth this summer was kind of a race against time. Ernest and his wife were determined to get Ali a Ukrainian birth certificate. They made it just under the wire before hospitals began printing Russian ones.
And why was that so important?
To be honest, we still hope that in some time, maybe some years, we're going to be part of Ukraine again. That's the kind of symbol for our hope.
His son may have to be a Russian citizen soon. Ernest isn't ready to lock in that future just yet. And Crimean Tatars like Ernest know that even small acts of defiance are dangerous in a country where Russia is now in power.
Nowadays, every time I post something or even like something on social media, I remember my father's words, "Son, please be careful, do not get into any trouble."
He doesn't go anywhere alone at night, and young Tatar men like him have reason to be afraid. There have been disappearances and kidnappings, and we'll hear that story from Crimea tomorrow.